Part 1. Start me up. Chapter 1. Don't start with why. Start with the people you're serving. Find your weirdos. Sorry, Simon Sinek, I love your book, but start with why is terrible advice for someone who's launching a new business, or anyone who wants to sell anything. Here's why. 2 days before I became a freelance writer, I marched into my boss's office and slightly hysterically declared, "You can't fire me because I quit." I'd had a bit of a meltdown at work, the worst job in the world, and gone AWOL for a couple of days. It was a horrible job, an awful place to work, and I did not deal with the situation well or react like an adult to any of it. My mental health hadn't been great before that either, and I rapidly plummeted to my own personal rock bottom. I could only see 2 ways out of this life I thought I'd made such a mess of, and thankfully I took the less permanent one. I quit. With nothing to go to, no savings in the bank, and no clue what to do next. I called up a friend who ran a creative agency and told him all about it. A couple of days later, he called to ask if I'd like to do some freelance writing for them. I did, and I'm so grateful because that's what set me on this journey. Please note, I do not recommend this as a way to start a business. For a few years, this was my big why. It makes an entertaining story, but it was a lifeboat at the time. Certainly not a reason to keep plugging away at running a business because, in case you hadn't noticed, running a business is bloody hard, every single day at the beginning. It wasn't sustainable long-term, not with a panic-induced why like that. And do you think my original why, because I had a tantrum and quit my job and panicked, is compelling enough to bring people into my world and choose to work with me instead of someone else? Absolutely not. Until I'd been running my business for a few years, I had no idea what my big why was. Literally no idea beyond, I don't know, I want to work for myself and I love writing and I can do that. Maybe this'll work. I was a direct response copywriter at the time and I wasn't loving it. It wasn't until I had another meltdown in a field in France in the summer of 2018, a full 6 years after starting my business, that I realised what my big why is. FYI, my big why is to help amazing business owners like you find the confidence to use their voices, to help people, especially those whose voices are squashed, dampened, or oppressed, to tell their stories and write a wonderful top-class book so they can help many more people live a better life. I'd spent years believing, and even wrote it in my first book, Business for Superheroes, that you had to start with why, because that's what everyone on the internet kept saying. Then I had my little field-based breakdown. And then I read a great article by Margot Aron of That Seems Important, which helped me realise I was right. Starting with why is not helpful. It puts an enormous amount of pressure on you to be a mature company when you may only be a baby. Scrabbling around to figure out your big why before you do anything else leads to an enormously confused message and a struggle to sell anything. Ask me how I know. Hint, I spent several years not really being one thing or t'other, and with the confusing sales messages to match. I struggled along, thinking this was the way business was supposed to be done. Not knowing who I was and why I had my business wasn't the only reason I struggled, but it sure didn't help. Don't misunderstand me, knowing your big why is crucial, and nailing down the details is a great branding and strategy exercise. It's also important for reasons I'll go into in Chapter 2. If I'd started with why, though, I'd have been stuck forever, because why is a bloody big question to answer, and I'd been stuck for long enough as it was. I think most of us have to run a business for a little while, or sometimes a long while, to figure out what our purpose is in this beautiful world of ours. But there's another reason that start with why is a problem. Simon Sinek said, and he's right to an extent, that people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. I'm not arguing with him, but if you start with your why, you won't get the chance to sell people anything ever. Here's why. The hard truth is, nobody cares about your big why until you've shown them how you can help them. And you can't show people how you can help them until you know exactly who they are, how they're feeling, and what they want and need. Only then will they be interested in your motivations and values. There's a company I love called Lucy and Yak, but when I first bought from them, I knew nothing about them. This is important. Pay attention. A good friend of mine had a pair of Lucy and Yak's ash pink corduroy dungarees, and I loved them. So I went looking for a pair too. The first time I landed on their website, they'd just made a limited edition set of sunflower print dungarees, and I was sold. They were mine. I loved them because I love yellow clothes and yellow flowers and dungarees, and they were offering me all three in one fabulous piece of clothing. I snapped them up. Then the dungarees arrived, beautifully and ethically packaged. They were comfy, looked ace and eye-catching, and were attached to a little postcard. On that postcard was their story, how they got started, why they make organic clothes and use ethical factories in India, all about their upcycled and recycled packaging, all things that make me feel good and jive with who I am. But the first thing that caught my eye was the beautiful dungarees. If they hadn't been an ethical company, I may not have bought my second pair of dungarees, or the t-shirt and full-length yellow coat and bright yellow trousers I bought later. And I certainly wouldn't have become a fan of the company. But their big why wasn't what drew me in. All this is by way of saying, your story comes second, your customer comes first. Let me explain. My first mentor, Peter Thompson, always used to say, prescription without diagnosis is malpractice. He was right. What he meant was, don't just show up with your solution and wave it in people's faces. We must first take the time to make sure we know what people want and need. It's no good making the correct assumption that I care greatly about animal welfare, then showing up with your ethically farmed and pampered pig sausages and waving them in my face. I'm vegetarian. I will not be happy. I don't want your sausage in my face. But wave a packet of Vivera plant-based fake bacon strips in my face, and I will have them in a sandwich with tomato ketchup and into my mouth faster than you can say sausages. When we dive into marketing and business without taking the time to get to know our customers deeply, we run the risk of being that annoying person who gets in your personal space and yells, "I have the solution to your problem. I don't really know what your problem is yet, but I don't care because I am the solution to everything." Obnoxious, right? That person might have the solution, but by this time, you just want to get as far away from them as possible because, and this is the crucial part, we want to feel seen and heard. Leading with your big why bypasses this crucial stage in building relationships with your clients and customers, and it makes it more difficult for you to figure out your sales messages. Leave it for now. Instead, start with who. Without a customer, preferably more than one, you don't have a business. Yet so many business owners skip over this part. We think we already know who we're selling to. We assume we understand them. Big mistake. Think of this part as like decorating a room in your house, except much more fun. You could just slap the paint upon the walls, but if the plaster is crap and flaky and the wall is covered in dirt, you'll get a terrible finish. Same with marketing. You could just slap a sales message up there and bellow "buy my stuff" at the top of your lungs without figuring out who you're talking to and what they really want, but you'll get terrible results. Instead, let's burrow inside your customer's brain, shall we? We'll have a rummage around. Who do you want to work with? Who are your best clients and customers? The ones who pay you the most and are the most delightful to work with? Do you want more like them? Let's take a closer look at them. Almost everything you've experienced in your life up to now has been geared towards making you normal, making you fit in, making you average. Ever since the Industrial Revolution, we've been in the age of mass production, mass marketing and mass media, generalized products, services and messages aimed at everyone and no one. The only reason this approach worked in the past was we didn't have a choice. There weren't many brands of bread. Actually, there were mostly bakeries. Or TV sets, or chocolate bars, or jeans. Today, we have near infinite choices about almost everything, so companies can no longer get away with generic marketing shoved at the masses. We are all weird, as Seth Godin points out in his book of the same name. We all have our quirks, and we're all drawn to people and things for specific reasons. You're listening to this audiobook because something about it and me appealed to you. You had other choices. There's a dizzying array of books about business, but you chose me. Thank you. If your marketing tries to appeal to everyone, you'll appeal to nobody. If, as Seth Godin says, you try to lead everyone, you'll lead no one. Instead, I want you to find your weirdos and give them what they want.